CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to our Thursday edition of the Gareth Cliff Show here with Pumi Mashiko, and I here to look after you, keep you company, and there she is. There's Pumi. Back in her house, she didn't have to rush to the office this morning. However, I'm sitting with some load shedding. I was just getting used to the feeling of having power again, and then they take it away from you. As soon as you get used to it, they zap you, you know. What can I say? It's starting to become less funny every time, but what are you going to do? All right.
I was very glad.
Are you glad about? Yeah, you don't want to be schlepping.
Because I've been absent too.
Uh-oh, doing what? You just couldn't sleep?
Struggling to sleep.
Oh, no, folks. That's no good. That's horrible.
It is quite awful.
Yeah. Were you nervous about something? You've got a lot going on today, or? Anxiety, generally?
I've got a lot going on every day. Yeah.
Are you a witch and you were worried about the full moon? I mean, like, what is it?
It's called being an adult. That's what it is.
Okay. So
it's just...
All right. General anxiety.
Pick any number of different things that it could be. It's like, I have to fill my tank today. I know that the petrol price has gone down slightly, but I actually have to get petrol today. That might have been what was keeping me up. Who knows?
I was looking at just the debit orders that came off of my account this month, and I'm like, how is this possible? How can all of this money be going somewhere? I mean,
it just arrived in my bank account.
It just arrived, and now it's all gone and some. And I'm like, what? What? How? I didn't sign up for all this other shit. And then, you know, as you say, you have to fill your car, and you're like, so it cost me on Monday or Tuesday, one of the two, 1,400 and something rand. I was like, no.
60 liters. You're like me.
Like, Jesus. 1,400 rand. You know, there was a... And by the way, I went to the shops the other day and I bought... Now, I don't want to lie about this. One packet, you know, one bag and like a box of Nachis or something. That was it. I walked out of there. That was over 1,000.
That was a million rand.
Oh, it was over 1,000. And I was like, but this is not a big shop. Usually it would be, you know, 1,000 rand is like you fill the trolley up and you've got your stuff for like 2 weeks or whatever. And it's just me. I'm not feeding anyone else. How can it cost this much?
It's just you and Alice.
So how does it cost so much? It's ridiculous, right? And
but you know what I had this month, which was really, really nice. And I was due next month, but I was due this month.
Yeah.
Is like a lot of black women of my age.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in a stock fell.
Oh, are you? Okay. So is this your month?
And I thought my month was September, but my month was August.
Oh,
so I got my stocky money.
Well, that's very handy. I think I better start a stock fell. Because that's the that's the extra month you didn't bargain for.
It's just lovely. It is. It actually was absolutely lovely. Until I realized all of the things that I was going to have to pay for out of my stocky money. I don't think, and usually I would do something for, like something, a once-off kind of thing, like piece of furniture.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, because that's the whole point of it, right?
Right. It's,
I don't get to do that this month.
But
take my car in for a service.
I mean, listen, that's a major expense. So are there there are 12 of you, right? And you all pay in, and then 1 month. Okay, well, that makes sense.
That's so wonderful.
I think it's a good system. Plus, you don't really have to involve financial institutions, you know. You don't have to involve people you don't know, people you don't like.
It's such a, you know, if you think about it, it's such an archaic little system.
Mm.
But it feels like you won the lotto. It really, so Hydra says, how does it work? So Hydra, yeah, you get a group of people and you get a stock sale. Sorry. You can have a travel stock sale where you and a group of friends put away some money every month for traveling or a specific goal.
Yeah.
Or just put out. So what we do, myself and my group of friends, is we just put in, every month you put in X amount of money. And there are 12 of us. So that money goes to a different person every month. So you put in 1,000 rand. And when it's your month, you get 12,000 rand. So it's like saving, but, you know, with other people. And because it's got other people, and this is the magic of it, is it's easier to do it. It's easier to save because you're being held accountable by a group of other people.
I think that's amazing.
Wonderful.
That's good.
They're like grocery stock sales. There are people who like save all this money and then in December or whatever get a whole lot of bargain groceries and divide it amongst themselves, and then they've like got 12 tomato sauces in January.
Well, listen, if that's what you're buying.
So, yeah, you know, to each his own.
So it was my my brother's birthday yesterday, and we
oh, no.
Yeah, well, I mean, now, you know, we're all kind of in this. My dad is in July, my brother and I in August, my mom and sister in September, and then my sister-in-law and my oldest nephew are in, like, the beginning of the year, and then the youngest one is in May. So we really are spread all over the year. The only time where there aren't any birthdays, and I think it's good planning, if you ask me, are October, November, December. There are no birthdays for any of us in October, November, December. But then pretty much from there on, it's like, you know, there's one roughly at a reasonable, like, interval from there on. But we all went out for supper last night, which was cool because...
Oh, that's nice.
First of all, we haven't been out with the kids, you know, to a restaurant, which is not a kid restaurant. And they were both so well-behaved. That was nice.
Nuts bird.
No, exactly. And it was nice. They were very well behaved. They, you know, I sat opposite them and kind of talked nonsense to them all night. And it's lovely to hear how their brains work. And, you know, you kind of find out what they're interested in. And you ask them questions about school and about what their favorite thing is to eat and all that kind of thing. And they always have an answer. Like, kids always, they don't waste time. Like, you know, the thing that adulthood does is it stops you from just answering. And even if your answer is stupid, if you're an adult, you worry about it. And you're like, oh, I shouldn't have said that. Or next time I'll take longer to think about my answer. With kids, they just go straight away. You know, here it is.
And did you see the thing on Monday? Yeah.
No. And we, you know, we had a really nice meal and everything. And it was just nice to do that kind of stuff because we've kind of forgotten. And I don't know about, you know, we've done family stuff at each other's houses and so on. But to actually go out somewhere was very nice. So little things starting to creep back into life that make it livable. You know,
that's awesome.
It is cool.
Did you know, talking about kids and the fact that they have no filters. You know, this on Monday in the US was the start of the new school year.
Oh yeah.
So obviously lots of little people and the start of the school
after
year
the,
with
the,
all the new
their big summer vacation, right? That's what they have.
It's always fascinating to see that. And the New York Times has weekly, they have a thing about tweets, viral tweets from parents about their kids, which are always funny. But on Monday, so this would have been our Tuesday morning, we woke up and there was a tweet that went viral in New York of a new teacher, so first day at school, young teacher, and he is a kindergarten teacher. And his tweet was about how one of the little kids in his class wouldn't look at him all day because she was just like, I don't want a boy teacher.
Oh, shame. Well, these days you don't know what gender your teacher is, and you dare not ask in case they're gender non-binary and start confusing the kids at age 3, you know? Because that's also a big thing. Have you seen these TikToks of these teachers with, like, very short purple hair, or they shaved on the one side, and they're like sitting there and like, I'm so excited that my kids asked me today if I'm gender non-binary. And you're like, no, they didn't ask you. You started talking about it, you
no,
nutcase.
I don't see
it. No, you got to see it. There's this account I follow on Instagram or on Twitter, I think it is. It's called Libs of TikTok. Oh my God, it's hilarious. Mm-hmm. And it's these total, like, unhinged lunatics who are, like, they're so in their navel gazing deep down the tunnel of, you know, self kind of immolation and worship that these people are, you can't believe what you've seen half the time. There was this teacher the other day, Pumi, and I don't know, like, as a parent, I'm not sure how you would react to this. I think I would just, I'd take my child out of all public education and hide them in a forest somewhere and, you know, make them hunt for their food and grow vegetables rather than learn about the stuff that they clearly would learn from these. I mean, this is, look, I don't think it's that bad in this country, but they're these very strange people who are, like, talking to kids pretty much about themselves the whole time. And then they get on TikTok, and when other people watch them and disapprove of this, they're like, why are you in, you know, you, this is my place for free expression. How can you, like, say horrible things about me on TikTok? But they've put this video up of them kind of talking about themselves in these weird and inappropriate ways to children. And I think you're putting this stuff out there. How do you expect everyone to just love you? And then it suddenly occurred to me while I was watching one of these the other day that all people have been conditioned to think that whatever you put on social media, you must receive love for. And that's just obviously not the, that's just obviously not the case, right? I mean, there's no way.
I do not think that's the way South Africans approach social media at all. I think as South Africans, social media is, it's that place. You venture out onto those streets and you never know what kind of ridicule is coming your way.
Then that's a good thing. That is a good thing, trust me. It's just unreal.
But South African, unreal. I think South African social media is possibly the coolest and simultaneously most terrifying place in the world.
Yeah.
Because at any one moment, like, people could get unhinged on you.
Right.
And people will make so much fun out of whatever you're saying. They will tease you to death. It's worse than, I think it's worse than,
think,
like, a
but that's right.
Yard.
But
it's also very entertaining for the rest of us.
That's what you need. I mean, if social media is, if it's all friendly all the time, it would be horrible. And if it's all horrible all the time, it would be beastly, and, you know, you just wouldn't want to be there. But there's a happy medium somewhere in between. I'm not sure we've found it. I'm not sure that we're better at it than anywhere else. But I still think if South Africa is tougher on people, then that's probably better. So let's take it rather than this this place that where everybody expects everybody to be nice to you all the time. It's ridiculous. We had Ask Jane on yesterday, which was hilarious.
I saw that.
Oh, people loved it. And so she was, there were two reasons to have her on. First one was she was looking for a job for the other 3 days of the week where she's not with us. And the other reason was that just we needed to catch up with her. Now, Jane is like a human version of what you've just described on, like, the mean streets of Twitter. Because she doesn't mince her words. She's not looking to be anyone's friend. She says exactly what's on her mind, like I was saying about the kids earlier. And I think people loved it because the comments have kept rolling in, and they loved Jane. I mean, she tore a strip off of pretty much everyone. She didn't say anything horrible about you though, Pumi, because I don't think she's seen you in a while.
I haven't seen her in a long time.
Mm.
Jane and I get along.
No, I think she's quietly respectful.
We get along, and I've known her for longer than I've known Cliff Central.
That's true. So did I. Yeah. So a lot of people still talking about Stokvels here. So Malusi says Stokvels operate on shame as motivation, and it works. Well, I don't know about shame.
No, they don't.
I don't think it's shame. Do you really? That's Malusi, no. Really? I think it's more like cooperative than it is shame. What's the shame part of it?
Especially because it's, you know, you get into a stock file, there are two parts, I think, that make it work. And I don't know if it's shame is a big one. But the first one is trust, is collective trust.
Right.
You kind of, do you guys put
it into a bank account
up.
Or where do you put it?
Yes. Yeah. So we've got an admin.
Oh.
Admin. Hmm. We've got an admin who reminds everybody on, you know, kind of the 4 days before the end of the month to say, hey, it's that time of the month again. And then we put the money into her account.
Okay.
And then she distributes the money. She keeps the calendar of who's getting what, and she's the admin.
So how come you got the calendar wrong? Because you thought your month was only September, and you end up with
because the calendar gets distributed in January.
You've got to
kind of make your note about. I just forgot about it. I really did think it was September. I just kind of remember thinking, oh, I wish I'd asked for my birthday month, and then I forgot about it.
You know, it doesn't matter if it's a big amount of money or a small one. But I spoke on the show the other day about finding 100 rand in a book. I was going through some stuff here and tidying up and everything. I found a 100 rand note in the book. I was like so excited about that. It's amazing how when you like put on an old jacket and you find like 50 rand in the pocket or something, you always think, ah, bonus! I've hit the jackpot. This is the best news ever. And then, you know, you kind of realize afterwards how silly that is. But we do love, like, an unexpected win. And I suppose that's what's nice about this month for you, because you didn't expect that money, and then it, boom, is in your account.
Mm.
Suddenly. It's nice.
It is. Very nice. But I see Bongi in the comments talking about Esona. I think Esona to Portugal. Did you see that story?
So is Esona, that's Black Coffee's son, right?
No, so this 10-year-old biathlete, swimming and something else, I don't know. And she is been kind of qualified for a whole tournament to go and represent South Africa in this thing in Portugal, wara.
Okay.
And the family and a couple of people are trying to raise. She needs 190,000 rand for the trip for herself and her mother and her coach to get there, to get to the tournament, to participate and all of that stuff. And it's like, I love it. It's great that people want to contribute and make this, but I'm also so angry.
Why?
That we have a... So there's a sports body for this, isn't it?
Yeah, SASCOC.
And this person is not, she's not going in her personal capacity because she wants to. She is going to represent the country.
Right. SASCOC,
why?
That's who should be paying.
Is it not part of why is it not part of a budget somewhere? What's like...
Oh, well, come on.
I think instead of hashtagging Take Esona to Portugal, we should all be bombarding bloody Natim Tetwa to Take Esona to Portugal. Oh, it's only 200,000 rand.
Will he respond? That's the problem. I mean, will he respond? And will he respond?
But we should...
Our campaign to get him to stop his stupid 100-meter-tall flag, that kind of put paid to his ideas there. So he responds to shame. Stockfels aren't shame, to go back to somebody's comment earlier, but you can shame a politician on social media. Now, Pumi, I know this is hugely controversial, and maybe we should save it for the burning platform. It came up with Lebang on Tuesday because it was something that Lindiwe Sisulu said. Just so that we know, because you always have kind of a sage opinion on these things, she suggested at the ANC conference that we should chemically castrate rapists. You know, in the light of the story in Krugersdorp with the miners, the Zama Zamas. What do you think of that?
I think it is just, it's Lindiwe Sisulu being, you know.
So you think it's ridiculous, basically.
To extend herself in the stuff. But I also think that, so like most the ANC, the problem is, some of the ideas are so outlandish and crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And But their biggest, biggest problem is implementation.
Yeah, well,
implementation.
So this is basically...
So before you so can you just, get to a place no, of no, but, I even mean, chemical...
Yeah, but what I'm asking then is you completely dismiss this as like political game playing, and you're not taking it seriously, and you think it's attention-seeking on Lindiwe Sisulu's part.
It's always attention-seeking on Lindiwe Sisulu's part. It's always attention-seeking on Lindiwe Sisulu's part. I don't... And I think, you know, so...
I'm going to ask you if you could just quickly... Can you go out and come back in? Your mic is clipping again terribly. It's like okay. We're getting every second word. So I don't know what's going on there. So I'll just carry on while you pop out and come back in. While Pums is out, let me quickly tell you about Naked. We've been talking to you about Naked Insurance for a little while now. They're offering, and their whole plan differs from other people's. But this is probably one of their best perks. I love it. Times are changing, right? Petrol's expensive. People are working from home more. People are using their cars in different ways than the ways that they used them pre-pandemic. So with Naked's cover pause, and I think this is such a clever idea, you can pause the accident portion of your cover on the days that you're not driving. Like, you know, for example, yesterday I had all my meetings virtually, so I didn't have to go anywhere. So I could have pressed pause. I wouldn't have paid for any cover yesterday. Funny thing is it works like down to the second. When you press go, it goes on. When you press pause, it goes off. So you're covered, and then you're not covered. So, of course, it's a brilliant system, and it can save you up to 50% on your premium. It's just one click on the Naked app. There's no need to sit on the phone for 40 minutes just to tell us that your car is going to be parked. And while you're on cover pause, your stationary cover is still in place. So if you were worried, oh, but what if someone, you know, comes out of nowhere and tries to steal my car? Well, it's still covered for that. It's theft, fire, Mother Nature, even a runaway airport trolley, for example. So when you need to drive again, you can resume your cover with just one click on the Naked app again. So visit naked.insure, that's naked.insure, or you can download the Naked Insurance app to sort out your insurance without a phone call. It's so easy. It's just a click. Naked Financial Technology is an authorized FSP. You can find out more at naked.insure. Here's Pumelele. Sorry, I don't know what happened there with your mic, but it's just clicking and clicking.
Okay, let's so try again.
While we're on this story, I saw the news yesterday briefly, and I saw that they went and raided like one of these Zama Zama settlements, if you can even call it that, on top of a mine dump. Basically, these people are living in like honestly the most primitive kind of tents. In the middle of winter, you can imagine the sort of life that these people have. No wonder they're reduced to thinking and behaving like animals. They're living like animals. I mean, they, you know, it's absolute squalor. In the middle of like this dirty, dusty mine dump, there's no sanitation, there's no water, there's no electricity. They're working pretty much 24/7. They've got gas cylinders there, so they can run what is essentially like a primitive smelting and welding operation, so they can actually get the gold out of the soil that they try to dig out from these old mine dumps, and these abandoned mines, which they use as kind of tunnels and escape tunnels. Actually, when they heard the police were coming, they sent a drone, and these guys spotted the drone, and they disappeared into these tunnels, and they got away. And Becky Taylor was there.
Remember, Leto told us about this.
Yeah. Becky Taylor was there, and the Gauteng Police Commissioner was there. And I looked at this and thought, oh, there's so much wrong with this thing. And then Becky Taylor had some words to say about, like, how disgusting this rape was and everything else. And it seems that some...
Of course he did.
But somehow the outrage turned to Becky Taylor rather than to these, obviously, criminal people who've been arrested, 81 of them that were arrested. You know, he apparently said something and... You know, the DA climbed on board. They were like, oh, how could he say these outrageous, insensitive things about... You know, I'm not even clear on what he said, but what I heard was he said the one girl was raped by 8 guys, the one girl was raped by 6 guys, the other one by 3, by 2, by 1, or whatever. And he said the one girl She was lucky, if you can call it lucky.
At least.
He said, she was lucky, if you can call it that, because she got away with just being raped by one. And, you know, he's trying to make a point, though, about how disgusting the gang rapes are. He's not minimizing rape. But, of course, all the other politicians climbed into this. Is this really something worth getting offended about? We all know what he meant. We know that he didn't mean to be, like, insensitive about rape. Or am I missing something here? Is that what he said that upset people?
I think it's a combination of factors. I think we're all upset. First of all, we're all upset by the fact that Begicele has, you know, centered himself in all of this. So he's suddenly everywhere, you know, showing up at every second crime scene, and is a spokesperson for all of these various things. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about this at the office, wondering, what does this mean? Does this mean that Begicele doesn't have a schedule? He doesn't have meetings? He doesn't have... what is he doing, supposed to be doing in the time that he's like dropping everything to fly through to a scene of whatever? Does it mean... what's happened to everything else that he should have been doing? What's his everyday job?
Right.
But it's also, you know, this issue of illegal mining is not new. It's been going on for years and years and years. And it's been talked about by so many people over the years, and nothing has been done. And now all of a sudden, you know, this is the thing about kind of election years, is you get quite a lot of activity in an election year. Everybody's got an opinion. Everybody is showing up.
Right.
Everybody is. And, you know, so yesterday what we also saw, because there was at the Krugersdorp Magistrates Court, they had a various political parties kind of picketing outside as some of the accused were appearing in court yesterday morning.
Right.
And one of the people, and the Twitter feed, I think she was being interviewed by someone from Newsroom, was Nomvula Mokonyane. When was the last time we saw her? In, like, all dressed up with the duku and the blanket, looking like looking like a concerned mother.
Mm-hmm.
But picketing. And I was just like, why is the ANC out here picketing? Y'all are in government. Picketing is for other people who don't have the power to do something about these things.
Yeah.
And then she was asked, and the soundbite that's been making the rounds is the most garbled piece of garbage you have ever heard in your life.
This and from Nomvula?
This woman, from Nomvula. Okay. From Nomvula. She talks about everything. She talks about expropriation without compensation. She talks about civil society being involved. She talks everything. And this is what I mean by the outrage, I think, is about everything. It's the frustration about how all of these politicians have centered themselves without really wanting to do anything and not having done anything for so long. But because they are in need of the publicity.
Right. Right.
Now you see them everywhere.
And they talk nonsense.
I think that's what the outrage
They talk nonsense,
is about.
Hoping that one of the things that they mention will strike a chord with voters.
Yeah, just machine gunning. Machine gunning.
So they spray
all
and pray.
The issues.
Yeah, they're like, oh, we talk about all the things that will get me attention. Unbelievable. Isn't Nomvula Mokonyane still a cabinet minister?
Who knows?
Who knows, right?
No, is she?
I don't,
who
this
knows?
Is the point. I don't think anyone, there was a time where I knew, during the Mandela and Thabo Mbeki administration, even maybe the first year or two of the Zuma administration, I knew who all the cabinet ministers were. I knew because I was watching the news. I knew because I had to know. I remember I paid attention. And, you know, usually these people were, they were seen. They were doing things. Not always right. A lot of them were pretty useless, but I saw them on TV. If there was a transport issue, you saw the transport minister. There's a health issue, you saw the health minister. There would be a lot of finance minister stuff, especially around budget time. So you knew who was in charge of what departments, and you could kind of thumbsuck what their rating would be. Have you noticed they stopped doing those report cards a while
ago. Scorecards.
You remember, they used to do those. They just stopped because they're like, they realize nobody even knows who these ministers are anymore. So there's no point in doing that. It's unreal.
Ay, Suga.
All right.
No,
so
it's terrible.
Suga is probably the best thing you can say. So let me get to some headlines for us for this morning. The Batgirl movie has been scrapped before it even has been put out there. They've decided to scrap Batgirl. So Warner Brothers made the decision, reportedly budgeted at more than $70 million. It was due to be shown in cinemas and on the streaming service of HBO Max later this year. The New York Post reported that the decision had followed a poor reaction to test screenings. You don't say. However, Warner Brothers has said that the move reflected its leadership's strategic shift. Finally, wow. Hollywood is starting to realize that you can't wokeify everything because you're just not going to get enough people into the cinemas to care about it and watch and actually pay attention. So the production was filmed entirely in Scotland. The local council said it had brought a significant economic benefit to the city. The film was based on the DC Comics character Barbara Gordon, or Batgirl. She appeared alongside Michael Keaton as Batman, Brendan Fraser as Firefly, and J.K. Simmons as Commissioner James Gordon. So Warner Brothers confirmed that Scooby Holiday Haunt would be scrapped as well. The spokesperson for the film said, "The decision not to release Batgirl reflects our leadership's strategic shift." I love that. When they start using words like strategic shift, you know that they've been caught with their pants down, right? Leslie Grace is an incredible, talented actor, and this decision is not a reflection of her performance. We're incredibly grateful to the filmmakers. This unusual move follows a change in leadership after Warner Brothers merged with Discovery in May 2021. Would you go and see this movie?
No,
I don't think so.
Although I hope when they say strategic shift that Warner Brothers, because they have a strategic alliance with DC Comics, right? Mm-hmm. Which is why they were making Batgirl.
Yeah.
I hope they can see that that kind of Marvel has peaked. And this is their opportunity. I think Marvel has peaked, and this is their opportunity to get in there.
I hope you're right that they've peaked and that they'll start to decline now, because I'm so up to here with superhero movies now. I mean, none of these things. I said it the other day, and I'm someone who, listen, I like being entertained. I like stupid stuff that doesn't force me to think too much when I go to the movies. But my God, all we've seen for the last 10 to 12 years is Marvel movies, one after the other after the other. They are all stupid. They all are the same story. And I don't think that it's appropriate anymore for adults to be watching them. Fine if kids are watching them. I understand that. But if you're an adult, if you're in your 30s, your 40s or 50s, God damn you, then you really need help. Because it's not appropriate. It's not on for an adult to be watching these movies and to be addicted to them and to be enjoying them at the level that I see some people, it's just not on. If you're in your teens or your 20s, that's still okay. After that, it's just embarrassing. I'm sorry. Isn't Catwoman the female version of Batman? No need for a Batgirl. Well, no, Catwoman was famously played by Michelle Pfeiffer in the Batman where Arnold Schwarzenegger was Mr. Freeze. Do you remember that? And Wasn't Danny DeVito the Penguin in that one as well?
Danny DeVito is the Penguin.
See?
Can't believe I'm having a second conversation about Danny DeVito this week.
Yeah.
What does this mean? Is the man making a comeback?
Maybe we're going to talk Danny DeVito again. Who knows? DC makes amazing movies, but they have shitty superheroes, says Dogozo. Marvel is starting to feel like the Fast and the Furious movie series. Exactly. And after Fast and Furious 1, I'd seen enough. I mean, how much more of that can you... Unless you're an idiot who, you know... I'm not going to say it. You understand where I'm probably likely to go on this one. Let's just leave it alone. All right. In KZN, a tavern owner was arrested in possession of police uniform and drugs. So they're obviously deciding to hit these taverns quite hard after all these hideous incidents that we've seen over the last while. This 37-year-old tavern owner been arrested for being in illegal possession of firearms, ammunition, and a police uniform. According to KZN's police spokesperson, Lieutenant Colonel Nobile Gwala, The police received information that a tavern owner was in the illegal possession of a firearm. They responded and proceeded to the tavern, which is located at his residence in Ulundi, where a search was conducted at the house. During the search, they found a pistol, 14 rounds of ammunition, a police uniform, various knives, and a bag containing dagga. So that's what they call drugs these days. Gwala said police then proceeded to the tavern where a further search was conducted and alcohol to the value of 70,000 rand was seized. Now, 70,000 rands of alcohol probably isn't that much alcohol for a tavern. Am I wrong? Not that much.
No.
No.
I suppose it depends on what kind of alcohol. If it's like 70,000 rands worth of beer, that's probably a lot.
That's quite a lot.
But spirits...
If they raided your house, what do you think they'd find that they'd think was suspicious? I mean, they found these knives, but they could just be this guy's kitchen knives, right? When you want to find a reason, when you want to find a reason to arrest someone, you find a reason. And I wonder if they found, if they would find anything in your house or mine, Pumi, that they'd say, yeah, we found this in this evil Pumi Mashiko or Gareth Cliff's house. Don't know.
Who knows?
Maybe they'd
I don't know.
Maybe they'd arrest us for... Do you think they'd arrest me for my sword collection? Probably, if they thought I was a violent person. They would, right? Well, they'd first have to get
to
me.
How many swords do you have?
They'd have to get to me first. That's what they'd have to do. Okay, so Tracy says... I've got a few. Tracy says, speaking of Danny DeVito and penguins, Benedict Cumberbatch can't pronounce the word penguin. He narrated a BBC wildlife show. He pronounced it penwings, penguiwinks. He won't go near the word now. We won't go the word. Wow, that's... What's the show that he narrates? I mean, surely someone would have... Because if you narrate a show, you sit in a booth, and then they go through it with you. They record it with you. There's usually someone who... Oh, it's so frustrating to these voiceovers. Everybody thinks that voiceovers, it's an income stream for those of us who... think we've got a nice voice. It's horrible. You sit there and then this person tells you you said that wrong 20 times and you have to keep saying it and keep saying it to their satisfaction. So I'm sure someone would have corrected him. Benedict Cumberbatch.
Shame. And maybe he couldn't get it right. I watched a documentary yesterday.
Well, in retaliation, we can't ever get his surname right. So maybe that's fair. Cumberbatch.
Absolutely.
Right.
And I just, on YouTube about... like a famous gangster, someone who was like in the Gambino family and whatever. Anyway, and he's been in prison for 20 years. And now he's got a... I'm going to remember what his name is. But he can't pronounce the word dyslexia. And he kept saying dyslexic. Something without the S even. And he couldn't pronounce the word and he kept saying the word because he... just kind of looking back at his life, at which point he thinks it all kind of went south for him. Because he's been he's been in the mafia all his life. And this was his thing. It's like if somebody back then had known to identify that's, he's got that issue at school and worked with him, he thinks he could have done something else with his life.
Your mic's doing that thing again. Let me quickly tell you this. Assets worth 13 million rand belonging to Richard Mdluli and his co-accused have been frozen. Now, we say that the wheels of justice turn slowly, but the National Prosecuting Authority's Asset Forfeiture Unit has successfully frozen assets to the value of 13 million rand belonging to former crime intelligence boss Richard Mdluli and his co-accused in the slush fund corruption case. This was years ago. The restraint order, which was granted by the Gauteng High Court in Pretoria in June, was served on Mdluli, the former crime intelligence supply chain manager, Heiner Barnard, and the former chief financial officer, Solomon Lazarus, on Tuesday. Mdluli's former and current wives and Lazarus and Barnard's wives are also cited as respondents in the application. The effect of the order is that their assets will be administered by a curator and they won't be able to sell or dispose of the assets. Investigating Directorate spokesperson Sindisiwe Siboka said that the restraint of the assets was premised on what has become known as the slush fund case. So Richard Mdluli is back in the news. It's amazing. This guy, he's been at large. I mean, he's been carrying on with his life. He's been living his life despite being basically accused of some of the most heinous crimes that any human being has. He's conspiracy to murder. You remember, I mean, he was the crime intelligence boss who actually had a policeman's wife killed, supposedly, allegedly. And he was just untouchable for a very long time, Richard and Lulu. Remember that?
And listening in to people's...
Poems, now your mic is... now we can hardly hear you.
Too low. Has it gone too low now? I've been trying to...
No, it's like there's this clicking sound. It's very weird. I don't know what's going on there. We've got to look at this before next week's show.
Yeah.
I'm going to send you a technician during the course of the week. We've got to figure this out. Something's wrong. I'll ask Homo Lemo to go and have a look at it, or Greg.
Also,
see what we can do.
I'm going to. Yeah.
Like every time you say anything, it click, 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 click. So it's you know, as soon as the sound kind of hits the microphone, there's something wrong. Might even be the mic.
Let me see if I can. I'm going to use the
now,
internal mic.
Now it's gone.
A second.
It's gone. Stick to that.
Okay.
Whatever's happening now is fine.
Okay.
Now it's cool.
Turned it down.
Suddenly,
okay.
Suddenly something's. Now it's all fine. Yeah, so Richard Mdluli, you remember him? So they finally managed to seize his assets and basically hold him accountable for something. You see, again, if we take away the ill-gotten gains of these crooks, then we're doing something. Please, the National Prosecuting Authority, do more of this. You want us to praise you? We're not asking for a lot. Just do some of this. That's all.
I just want more than taking away of assets. I think the assets must be taken away, but they must also do time.
I'm inclined to agree. All right. Amazingly, we are doing very well at the World Junior Champs. So South Africa won gold and bronze for our team there. After winning the World Junior title in Nairobi last year, Minna de Klerk retained her title as she won gold again in the women's shot put. She produced a throw of 17.17 meters in the final. Benjamin Richardson was beaten by Botswana's Letsile Teboho, who broke the junior world record in an electrifying 9.91 seconds, while Boahi Nkrumi of Jamaica grabbed silver. So that's interesting. We're doing okay. South Africa claimed its first medals at the World Athletics Under 20 Championships in Cali in Colombia, as these people managed to bring home these medals, which is great news. I mean, if people are going to get excited about, you know, Banyana Banyana, then we can get excited about the junior champs. So I think that's fair enough. And well done to these athletes.
We should get excited about all of it.
Well, it's just difficult to retain a level of excitement when it's really not the main event. That's the only thing I'm saying. You know, it would be nice if one of our actual national teams that actually has more than 5 viewers and 5 supporters won something. That would be great. Okay.
See on Saturday.
What's happening on Saturday? Rugby.
There's rugby.
I know you say that like I'm supposed to know, Pumi, but you know I don't know anything about rugby. You know I don't watch. I'm not even a supporter of those teams. Here's an interesting story. The UK McDonald's in the UK has banned under-18s after 5 p.m. without parents as the staff have been subjected to verbal and physical abuse. You know, they've got a major problem in London, for example, with chavs. These young kids who are unsupervised, they've been raised badly by parents who are very often drug-addled or just don't give a damn. And McDonald's in the UK has decided, especially in the city of Liverpool, that no under-18s can eat there after 5 o'clock in the afternoon without an adult to supervise them. A spokesperson said that the staff had been subjected to verbal and physical abuse from kids under the age of 18. We have a zero-tolerance policy when it comes to crime and antisocial behavior, they added. You know, when a business has to shut its doors to a huge swathe of the market because the market can't behave itself.
To its core target market.
Who's to blame for that? What do we do about this? I mean, it's not our problem, it's Britain's problem. But what do we do about this? What do we do when under-18s are verbally and physically abusing the staff at a takeaway place. I mean,
so ridiculous.
It's really bad. You know, this is, if I were, you know, a Brit right now, and we've got our problems in South Africa, so I'm not casting aspersions. I know that our glass house is also susceptible to stones being thrown. But when kids are behaving like this, you've got a social problem. There's something really, really bad going on. And I wonder what the cause of it is. You know, there's a lot of talk about these welfare mums who, you know, similar to a lot of the arguments we have in South Africa about these people who just get grants for having children. So they have kids with men who are never around. The absence of the father figure is a major problem here in South Africa as well as in Britain. You've also got violence. You've got a lot of these kids growing up in gangs. You've got a lot of them who don't have any parental supervision because the parent or parents work the whole time. They're raised by the television. So there are a whole lot of questions here that, and now it's McDonald's problem. So they have to close to under-18s at 5 in the afternoon. Because as soon as the sun goes down, these little vampires and werewolves become impossible to manage.
So I hadn't heard this term chav before. Mm. And when I Googled it, I'm still horrified
at
the definition thereof.
Give us the definition that you found.
It's hectic.
Go on.
It's hectic. Scally, or roadman is another word for it, mm-hmm. is a British pejorative term used to describe antisocial lower class youth.
Mm-hmm. That's it. Chavs.
Lower class youth.
Yep.
Thieving, pot-smoking, gaudy, jewelry-wearing, white yep. city kid with no ambition.
There we go. Yep, chavs. Well, so are we not allowed to refer to people like that anymore? Because that's what they are. What do we say?
Fake Burberry.
Fake Burberry. So I've got a book about chavs that someone bought for me. I think they bought it as a joke. And gave it to me as a present one year. But it's basically, and I read two or three chapters of it. It's interesting because it gets into why there is this social underclass in the youth in Britain and where they come from. And a lot of these things that I've just described now, maybe I should go and haul it off the library shelf and reread it.
You might have to, and just share the title. I'd love
It's called Chavs, C-H-A-V-S.
It's called Chavs?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll find
I'm
going to
look for it.
I'll bring it to the studio for you. You're welcome to read it. I somehow think you might have quite useful and valuable insights into the chavs, but this is a real problem in Britain. You know, they've got spiraling knife crime, and most of the people who are committing that knife crime are under the age of 18. You know, they're old grannies who are like, they're busy taking their groceries in from the car to their council flat. And these kids of like 15, 16 will come up and like threaten her with knives and say, give us your bags, old lady. We're going to take your groceries this morning. Thank you for doing your shopping for us. And then they'll go. And it seems that there's just nothing they can do. How's that?
That's hectic.
So we have problems, they have problems.
And the fact that it's just anarchy, right? So
yeah.
It's for no other reason other than just complete chaos, causing chaos.
Right.
Well, that's what it sounds like. I mean, this McDonald's situation, right?
Is
it simply causing chaos? They're not like robbing the McDonald's. They're just abusing the staff.
They have no manners. They're just the underclass. That's what they are. Beth's Eleutheria says, that's almost like Benedict Cumberbatch, this is what happens when you outsource responsibility for your life to the state. You get irresponsible adults raising worse future adults. And I think that's a good point.
Mm.
I think that's a very good point.
Mm.
You know, the government post-World War II that promised British people they would look after their health care, their education, they would take care of their, you know, job security, they'd make sure that they also had money if they didn't have a job. All of this stuff results in a bunch of potatoes who sit at home watching TV, drinking, taking drugs, having children, and not looking after those children. and then the cycle perpetuates itself. So that's Britain reaping the whirlwind of some very, very ugly seeds they sowed in the 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s. And really, this is what they are.
This is totally one of the things that when I'm awake at 2 in the morning kind of flits through my mind is our country and our young people, where we have so many young people who are uninspired, hopeless,
and raising themselves,
undereducated, raising themselves, and it's just it is the seeds of chaos.
Well, I we mustn't feel like we're alone. And by no means is this Schadenfreude. I'm not saying that, because Britain's got problems, that means our problems are somehow okay. We clearly have as many, if not more, issues. And it's good to notice that this is going on all over the world, because then it means you're paying attention. You're not sitting here going, oh my God, South Africa is the worst place ever. I mean, Gord Laws, who we often have on the show, he was in Liverpool, I think, the last time we spoke to him. It could even been, the second last time we spoke to him. He was saying it's just the most horrible city. Like, Liverpool is just awful. The quality of people is very poor. They shout at each other the whole time. There's a huge amount of, verbal and physical abuse evident in society the whole time. He spoke about the knife crime as well, which is a major thing. So they don't have gun crime in Britain because it's very, very hard to obtain a gun. But knife crime, it's a big thing. And it's kids, Pumi. It's not adults. It's like teenagers. And, for ordinary people who are just going about their daily business, this is the thing they fear the most, is these knife-wielding teenagers. And it's a really big problem in parts of London, Liverpool, Birmingham, pretty much anywhere where someone talks like this. That's where you'll find a problem. Anyway, some were robbing. Mm. They challenge each other to do a Mac dive, which is diving over the counter and stealing as many burgers as possible. Oh, wow, says Brian. He's busy explaining to us what actually happens and why they've decided to close these places. A Mac dive. You dive over the counter and you steal burgers. That's why they've decided no kids after 5 o'clock. Sure, Brian.
Jeez.
Hectic. Ethan says, knife crime is so old school, it's a prisoner's weapon.
it's an easy weapon to have and get and chisel and make.
Well, believe it or not, the stupid British are trying to, and I say the stupid, the politicians are trying to ban knives in certain areas. They will allow you to have blunt knives, but not sharp ones, because they're trying to, again, these are the same people who think guns are the problem instead of humans are the problem. They blame the tool. So they're like, in places like Birmingham, what we'll do is we'll just stop selling sharp knives. All the knives are going to have a blunt edge. So you can cut like this, but you can't stab. As if cutting like this isn't an option for someone who's violent and inclined to that sort of thing. It's so dumb, right?
Oh, and I hate those things, like those types of knives, like they have in the plane now. It's one of the reasons why I'm working so hard to get into the first class or business class at least, because they have proper knives.
Yes, exactly. Because no one in first class is going to stab anyone, of course. Does anyone remember, says Dr. Robin, that BBC parenting show called Super Nanny, the world's worst parents?
Yes.
The House of the Tiny Tearaways, all of them trying to get parents to parent. I remember those shows. Mm. And that should have been our canary in the coal mine. I mean, that was where it all was becoming a major social problem already for the people who were paying attention. So now it's seriously got worse. Just Plain Jared says, I was in Australia in 2009. I went to McDonald's and there was a very tense vibe.
No.
There was an actual bouncer in case a fight broke out in McDonald's.
In 2009.
Wow. Okay, I didn't know about that. I could picture Jamie Oliver's outrage at the new laws, but I can't make out what he's saying. It says Corona's pouring.
Stop it, guys.
Yeah, that's awful.
A problem.
That's a real problem.
Imagine.
Well, that is the UK's problem, not ours. We've got the Burning Platform coming up next, which I'm very excited about. We will check in on all the big stories in the news. We're going to have Dumo Denga, who I'm very grateful has managed to make time for us this morning. We had Pumi, we went through like five guests who Dari and Simpi were trying to nail down for today's Burning Platform. All of them had, I have to drop the kids, I have an emergency, I don't have petrol in my car, I'm worried about load shedding. All five of them let us down. So thank God Dumo, who is irrepressible and can always be relied upon, will be our guest after seven.
I thought about this too this morning when I was not sleeping, mm-hmm. about the number of people who now have to drop their kids off at school. Like, whatever happened to school buses?
Oh, you can't rely on those. Come on. We can't trust those people. But yeah, so Dumo Denga will be joining us on the Burning Platform.
EP Transport, Yabantuan.
We want to talk about all the things that matter to you, even transport of your children to and from school. But let us know what is on your mind this morning so we can get into some of the big events and the big affairs, the big stories of the moment. And you can do that by dropping
exciting news in yesterday's by-elections.
Well, we want to hear about that too. We want to hear about all of it in the Burning Platform, which is next. Stick around. CliffCentral.com on a Thursday morning. CliffCentral.com.